I'm asking you to open your Bibles with me this morning to the book of Romans. I'm going to speak from the 5th chapter of the book of Romans, verse 1, just a very brief verse of scripture. Our subject is the road to peace. Everybody ought to be interested in this, how to find peace of heart and conscience, peace with God. And we have the answer here in Romans 5, verse 1. If you'll look in your Bible and follow, I'll read Romans, the 5th chapter, verse 1. Paul says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace." We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, my friends, I say this, that before us today, there's the most glorious doctrine to be found anywhere in the Bible. Peace with God. I say it's the most glorious doctrine to be found anywhere in God's Word. Peace with God. Entering into His rest. That's what it's all. The Bible is a book of redemption. How God saves sinners through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the results of that justification, that salvation, is to find peace with God. These are the questions that Job asked. How can he be clean that's born of a woman? Do you have the answer? Here it is. How can man be just with God? Behold, the moon, it shineth not. The stars are not pure in his sight. How much more abominable and filthy is man that drinketh iniquity like the water? Hey, this is what the disciples asked the Master. Who then can be saved? Our Lord said, with men it's impossible. Well, with God all things are possible. This is the question of questions. If we can find the answer, how to have peace with God. Peace with God. How to enter into his rest. To have a quietness of heart and conscience as far as this matter of sin and salvation, heaven and hell, God, how to find peace. I say this, that we have before us the best news that a sinner can hear. Therefore, being justified, we have, not gonna have, do have right now, we have peace with God. For when God justifies a sinner, he takes him from under the condemnation of the law. There is therefore now no condemnation, no judgment to them who are in Christ. He not only takes him from under the condemnation of the law, but he forgives all his iniquities, past, present, and future. He said, I cast them behind my back. I cast them into the depths of the sea. I separate them from you as far as the east is from the west. I remember them no more. No more. Now think about that. And then the third thing, he not only lifts from us the condemnation of sin, not only forgives all of our iniquities, all of our sins, but restores us to divine favor. Restores us to divine favor, peace with God. Now my friends, listen to me. The road to peace. How to have peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. I'm not talking about pretended peace. I'm not talking about pretended peace. I know Jeremiah said they cry peace, peace, peace when there is no peace. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about make-believe peace. Nothing is so fatal. I say this to you. Nothing is so fatal as a false religious refuge. Nothing is so fatal as an empty profession of religion that just quiets your conscience and dulls your mind and makes your heart indifferent, only one day to hear Christ say, I never knew you, depart from me. That's not the kind of peace I'm talking about. Not a pretended peace. I'm talking about a genuine peace. A real peace. Peace with God. Peace of which God is the author. Peace of which Christ is the purchaser. Peace of which the Holy Spirit is the applier. A living peace. An everlasting peace. A rest of heart. I'm not talking about presumptuous peace. It's tragic, but I hear people say all the time, well, I've made peace with my Maker. Have you now? But that's not the issue. That's not the issue at all. You know what the issue is? Is your Maker made peace with you. You say you're at peace with God? Well, my question is this. Is God at peace with you? Is God reconciled to you? That's the question. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have God's peace. God's peace. And I'm not talking about the peace of profession. Now, I don't want to offend you. I wouldn't offend you for the world, but I do want to make you think. You know, the Bible tells us to examine ourselves, whether we be in the faith. The Word of God tells us every time we come to the Lord's table to examine ourselves and then to eat. Peter says, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. The book of Hebrews is full of warnings to God's people. We are the house of Christ if we hold fast our profession firm unto the end. I don't want to offend you now, but I want you to listen to me. Too many people, when they talk about peace and a relationship with God, they want to go back too far. They want to go back too far. They want to go back in the past to an old profession of religion, which they made in the old country church during summer revival time or the protracted meeting under an old brush harbor when they were about 12 years of age. And they said, I accepted Jesus. I accepted Jesus when I was 12 years old. Or I was sprinkled when I was a baby. Or I was confirmed or catechized or joined the church. Now, let me tell you something. Let me be totally honest with you. I've been where you are. And I know this, that genuine repentance is not an isolated act. A man doesn't say, I repented. It's not I repented at all. It's I am repenting. If a man has ever felt the guilt of sin, the weight of sin, the burden of sin, he not only did repent, but he is repenting and he will repent. He not only has believed on Christ and received Christ, but right now he's believing on Christ. And he will believe on Christ. He has come to Christ. He is coming to Christ and he will come to Christ. Salvation in the Scriptures is a living union with Christ. It's not a decision. It's not an isolated experience. It's not a profession of faith that happened 30 years ago. And I warn you, if you have to go back 20 minutes to prove you're saved, there's a problem somewhere. Christ liveth in us now. Now, I'm not talking about a pretended peace or a presumptuous peace or a peace of profession. I'm talking about a living union with Christ that brings us to peace with God. Remember this. It's vital and important. These two words in Romans 5:1 cannot be separated. Justified and peace. Now you think of those two words. Let's read the text again. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, comma, we have peace with God. That peace is based upon what? Justification. That's right. You can't separate those two words. Therefore, being justified, then we have peace. No man can have peace with God who's not justified. It's an impossibility. No man can have peace with God who has not been forgiven, who has not been pardoned, who has not had his sins put away. He can't have peace with God. He's at war with God, and God's at war with him. No man can have peace with God who's not justified. And all men who are justified have peace with God because they're justified, because they have no sin. It's your sins that have separated you and God. And when the sin problem is taken care of, when the sin problem is finished, then there's peace. The war is over. Here's an illustration. When God's own well-beloved, only begotten Son hung on the cross of Calvary, bearing our sins in his body on the tree. The Scripture says the Father deserted him. The Father turned his back on Christ. Why? Because of the sins that he bore. Almighty God cannot have fellowship with sin. Almighty God cannot look with favor upon sin. Almighty God cannot dwell with sin. And that's what I'm saying. You can't have any peace with God. It's an impossibility until your sins have been removed, until your sins have been paid for, until your sins have been pardoned, until your sins have been forgiven. The Bible says God's angry with the wicked. The Bible says God hateth the workers of iniquity. The Bible says Esau have I hated. The Bible says he that believeth not on the Son, the wrath of God abideth on him. So this cannot be separated. There is no peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. That's the basis on which the peace rests. That's the foundation on which it rests. That's the reason that God can be at peace with us, is because we have no cause for anger. We have no cause for wrath. God's wrath is against sin. Somebody said one time, it's no longer the sin question, it's the Son question. I beg your pardon. It's the sin question. Where sin has not been put away, where sin has not been paid for, where sin has not been pardoned, it's still the sin question. Our Lord said, if you die in your sins, you cannot come where I am. Your sins have separated you and your God. How can man be clean that's born of a woman? How can man be just with God? That's the ringing question. How can I be justified? If I can find out how to be justified, I can find out how to have peace. If I can find the road to justification, I can find the road to peace. You see what I'm saying? Therefore, being justified, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, first of all, justification is not by the law. I know that. That can be ruled out. No use people coming preaching to me, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. That won't justify me before God. It says in the Scripture, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified before God. Now that puts that aside. So let's take the law and just lay it aside. The law is the schoolmaster that brings us to Christ. The law is that which convicts us of our sins. The law cannot save. It cannot give a righteousness. It can expose the fact that we don't have any. The law can shine the light of God's holiness upon us and show our filth and guilt, but it cannot cleanse us. It cannot atone for our sin. There's no justification in the law. All right, secondly, justification is not by works. The Scripture plainly says, not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to His mercy hath He saved us. Abraham was not justified by works. That's what Paul said in Romans. If he were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. So it's not by works. And then thirdly, justification is not earned. In Romans chapter 3, verse 24, it says, therefore, being justified freely, by His grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. So justification is not by law, it's not by works, it's not earned, it's free. Now watch this. First of all, justification is by God's grace. It's the gift of His grace. How is a man justified? What are we dealing with here? Peace with God. How to have peace. You say, preach your subject, how to have peace. But what I'm trying to tell you is this. You can't have peace in a state of sin, in a state of unbelief, in a state of rebellion. There's no way. You can study how to win friends and influence people. You can study how to have a positive mental attitude. You can study, I'm okay, you're okay. You can go to these sessions where people sit around and try to give each other rest and peace and quietness of spirit, but you can't have peace with God until something's done about your sins. I can't either. And if I'm ever justified, what does the word justified mean? It means just as if I had never sinned. Cleansed, pardoned, forgiven, all my sins put away, all of my guilt put away, holy before God in Christ. That's justification. Now, if I can find the road to justification, I can find the road to peace. Being justified by faith, I'll have peace. And so, first of all, I tell you this, that it's by God's grace. Now, listen to these scriptures. Being freely justified by His grace. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith. What is grace? It's God giving us what we don't deserve, what we don't earn. It's unmerited favor by God's grace. Romans 6, 23, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So first, justification by grace, and then secondly, it's through Jesus Christ. Look back at our text in Romans 5, 1. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans 3, 24, being freely justified by His grace through the redemption that's in Jesus Christ. And in 1 Peter 1, 18, we know that we're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold from the vain conversation received by tradition from our fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. Are you with me? Justification by God's grace. It's a free gift. Salvation is not what I've done for God, it's what He's done for me. It's conferred upon us, secondly, freely, through our Lord Jesus Christ. And what's the next place? It's by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Romans 5, 1, being justified by faith. Romans 3, 30, seeing it is one God who shall justify the circumcision, that is a Jew, by faith, and the uncircumcision or the Gentile by faith. We're justified by faith. If a man is justified before God in Christ, by faith, freely, as the gift of God on the merits of His Son, he has peace with God. God looks with favor upon him and accepts him. God has fellowship with him. He has peace of heart and conscience. And God's providence is so arranged that all things will work together for his good. Preacher, can you help me come to this place? I believe I can. If you're sincere, if you're interested, if you're bow to the Word of God, I'll give you some things that a sinner can do. And a sinner must do if he comes to this place of justification or peace with God. Now, here's what I say to all men. First of all, the road to peace is the road to justification. Let's remember that. Would you listen and consider these things? I say, first of all, the sinner will plead guilty before God. If you want to know the way to justification, if you want to know the way to peace, I say, first of all, you will plead guilty. No strings attached, no reserve, guilty. The Scripture says in Romans 3:19, what the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world become guilty. Guilty. Those are hard words to say, aren't they? Guilty before God. But those are three important words. Guilty before God. When we are brought before the law of God, we plead guilty. When we're brought before the judgment bar of God, we plead guilty. When we're brought before the holiness of God, we plead guilty. When we're brought before the justice of God, we plead guilty. And I mean, to be guilty in one point of the law is to be guilty of the whole law. Job said, if I justify myself, my own mouth would damn me. My own mouth would condemn me. Isaiah pleaded guilty. He said, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. Job pleaded guilty. He said, Lord, when I saw your holiness, I hated myself. I'm full of sin. Peter pleaded guilty. He said, Lord, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. Paul pleaded guilty. He said, Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. Do you plead guilty? That's the first place to start. Offering no alibi, no excuse, just casting ourselves on the mercy of God, like the publican in the temple, who would not so much as lift his eyes to heaven, but smote upon his breast and cried, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. That's the first thing. Do you plead guilty? All right, secondly, the sinner will not only plead guilty, but he will justify, this is the hardest thing now, he will justify God in his sentence against him. He'll take the side of God in his sentence. He'll say, Lord, you're right. If you send me to hell, I'll get what I deserve. That is tough, preacher. I know it is. David said this, though, Psalm 51:3. He said, I acknowledge my transgressions. My sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Watch it, that thou mightest be justified when you speak and clear when you judge. When God, David said, I acknowledge my sin. My transgression's ever before me. It's my sin. It's against God. Against God have I sinned. So when God speaks, when God judges, when God condemns, he's righteous, holy, and good. Now, you'll come to that place. Let God be true and every man a liar. I justify God in his anger. I justify God in his wrath. I justify God in his condemnation. That's something this generation won't do. The God that they worship must love everybody. The God that they preach must not be angry. The God that they preach must not be righteous. He must not be holy. He must not have a judgment bar from which he casts men into outer darkness. They won't have anything to do with that God. But I'm telling you this. When you come before the Lord of glory, number one, you'll plead guilty. Christ died for sinners. He said, I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Sinners to repentance. And you'll justify God in his wrath. You'll justify God in his anger. You'll justify God in his divine sentence. Now, I'm telling you that. You read the Bible, you'll find that to be true. Every man, David said, who am I, Lord, and what is my house that you should bless me? All the way through the Scriptures, you'll find these men of broken hearts and humble spirits justifying God. Why, David said, the heavens won't contain him. How much less the house that I built him? And then thirdly, The sinner will be confronted with the only substitute God has provided, the Lord Jesus Christ. It won't be many ways or many roads or many doctrines or many plans. It'll be one. I am the door. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the Savior, the refuge, the only one. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, Christ. Another name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Moses saw him and wrote of him. Moses saw him in type. Abraham saw him. He rejoiced to see his day. He saw him in picture. Simeon saw him in the body of an infant, incarnate. He said, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. I'm ready to die. The woman at the well saw him in the flesh. She said, when the Messiah comes, he'll tell us. Christ said, I'm he. I'm he. The thief on the cross saw him in his dying hour when he cried, Lord, you're not going to stay dead. You're coming into a kingdom. Remember me. Thomas saw him in his resurrected glory and fell at his feet and said, my Lord and my God. Stephen saw him seated on the right hand of God. Paul saw him on the road to Damascus as one born out of due time. And my friends, I'm going to tell you this. Not in a vision at the foot of my bed, and not in a dream some dark, rainy, cloudy night, and not in a whooped-up feeling at some mourner's bench, but I've seen the Lord in His Word. I've seen Him as the Redeemer, as the Savior, as the Substitute, as the Sin Offering, as the High Priest, as our Atonement. I've seen Christ. I've been to Calvary, and I've seen the Lord. And some of you can say the same thing. I've seen Christ, not with these eyes, but with eyes of faith. I've heard Him, not with these ears, but ears of faith. I've felt Him, not with these hands, like John and the other apostles, but I felt Him in my heart. He revealed Himself to me. I've seen Him as my only hope. My only hope. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Other refuge have I none. John Wesley wrote, hangs my helpless soul on thee. Last of all, the sinner not only pleads guilty, he not only justifies God in his sentence, in his wrath against sin. He not only sees that Christ is his only refuge, his only sin offering, his only hope, his only mediator. There's one God and one mediator between God and men, Christ. Don't miss the way of the cross. That's the way that leads home. But last of all, the sinner will receive Christ intelligently and lovingly. He will receive Christ. I'm not talking about just believing a doctrine. I'm not talking about just making a decision. I'm not talking about joining the church or straightening up your life or quitting a few sins. I'm talking about bowing to the sovereign claims of Christ, bowing to the royal claims of the King, receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. It says He was in the world and the world knew Him not. He came into His own and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him. Him. Not just the words about Him. Not just the things identified with Him. Not just His laws, but as many as received Him. How do you receive Christ? As your Redeemer? As your Lord? As your Savior? As your husband, brother, friend? As your God? As all things? As your life? As many as received Him, to them gave He the right, the privilege to become sons of God. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus to be Lord, and believe in thine heart God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Paul said, who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died. Yea, rather is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who ever liveth to make intercession for us. Now, there may be some objections that will be raised. Let's go back to the text. Therefore, being justified by faith, sin pardoned, sin forgiven, sin put away, by faith in Christ. I have received Him. I've pleaded guilty. I've acknowledged my transgressions. I've looked to Christ only. I've justified God in His divine sentence. I've received Christ as my Lord and Savior. I've bowed to Him. But preacher, I don't have peace. I don't have peace. I don't have peace with the devil. He just won't leave me alone. I'm so tempted and so tried. Now wait, hold on a minute. Look at that text again. It doesn't say we'll have peace with the devil. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. I don't ever in this world expect to have peace with Him who is the disturber of Israel, Him who is the accuser of the brethren, Him who is a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour, if he could lay hands on Peter by God's permission and on Job by God's permission, the only thing that keeps him laying hands on me and you is God Almighty's permission. But we don't expect to have peace with Satan. We have peace with God. Somebody else says, well, I do believe. I trust Christ. I look to him alone, but I don't have peace with my flesh. I have more struggles and conflicts and trouble with my flesh. Read the text again. It doesn't say, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with our flesh. It says peace with God. In the flesh, you'll have troubles and trials and sorrows and pain and even death. God doesn't promise you peace with the flesh. Galatians 5:17 says the flesh lusteth against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. You can't do the things you would. But I'm not talking about peace with the flesh. Somebody else says, well, I believe, but I don't have any peace with the world. Well, it doesn't say you'll have peace with the world. Wicked men will condemn and cause trouble. It's peace with God. Let's get back. Therefore, being justified by faith, I have peace with God. I have peace with God. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Let me warn you. Don't seek the blessing. Seek the Lord. Don't seek assurance. Seek the Lord. Don't seek peace. Seek him. And being justified by faith in Christ, you'll have peace. You'll have peace. But it comes as a result of justification.